You may be seated.
Amen. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 1, the end of Exodus chapter 1, and we'll be moving into Exodus chapter 2. Here in Exodus chapter 1, verse number 22, and we'll read on into chapter 2, down to the third verse. Exodus chapter 1, verse 22, and we'll read down to verse number 3 in chapter 2. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, "Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and dabbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink." Let's bow for prayer. O God, we pray that you would teach us from your word this evening. Encourage us concerning the fact that you're always at work, whether we see it or not. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God is always working. That's the title of my sermon this evening. God is always working. Now, as we leave chapter 1 and move into chapter 2 of Exodus, we read of Pharaoh's determination to kill every Hebrew boy born by casting him or them into the River Nile. Note the difference in chapter 1, verse 16, how he commissioned the midwives to kill the boys born. And here in chapter 1, verse 22, his charge is to cast the Hebrew boy into the Nile River. In chapter 2, we have God preparing a deliverer for God's people. We don't read of the people of Israel asking for one in chapter 1. We only read of the hardship that they were experiencing in Egypt. See, God knows what we need, and God knows when we need it. God is always working. And we see this in the birth of Moses here in chapter 2, from verses 1 all the way to verse number 10. God is always at work in the background, even though we cannot see it. We need to believe it and by faith rest in this biblical truth that God is always working. And this should be a source of encouragement, especially in times when it seems like nothing is happening, or times when we can do no more in a given situation, or we feel like we've hit a stump or a dead end. See, with God, there are no dead ends. Our God is the living God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is ever present. He's all knowing. He's all powerful. God is the living God. Our God is the living God. And therefore, because he is the living God, he is always at work. He's always working out his eternal purposes for his ultimate glory. Quickly note there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 9, please. Ephesians 1, 9. It reads, Ephesians 1, 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. Our God is the living God. He is the one and true and living God. And God is always working out his eternal purposes for his ultimate glory. Now, as we move back to Exodus chapter 2, I'd like for us to note some principles from these verses, from verses 1 to 10 of Exodus 2, that give us the assurance that God is always working. God is active. The Bible teaches us that God not only created all things, but by him all things consist. He holds things together. Now we see within this passage that records the birth of Moses, we see the pillar of providence. We see the pillar of purpose. And we know there are five key pillars within the book of Exodus. So we see God's providence, we see God's purpose. God has a purpose in the birth and preservation of this child, which was named Moses. In verse number 1, we are introduced to a man and a woman that get married. The Bible teaches us in verse 1 of Exodus chapter 2, they are both from the tribe of Levi. On the surface, they are just an ordinary couple. Nothing unique or special is mentioned about them. A man from the house of Levi marries a woman from the house of Levi. So on the surface, they are just an ordinary couple. Nothing unique, nothing special from this couple. In fact, we are not even given their names. We're not given their names until chapter 6, verse 20. Now, why is that, you ask? Well, I think the simple answer is it really doesn't matter who we are, it's who God is. That's what matters at the end of the day. And God in his providence is doing a work, and God in his providence uses ordinary people, just like you, just like me. And then we move on in verse number 2. The Bible teaches us the woman conceives and has a son. And verse number 2 tells us the woman conceived, bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child. That word goodly there is an old English word which literally means healthy, beautiful. Every child born is beautiful. And the child was beautiful, the child was healthy. So the Bible tells us this woman conceives, has a son, a beautiful, healthy baby boy. And then we are also told in the second verse that she hides him for 3 months. Why? Because as we just read back in chapter 1, verse number 2, Pharaoh charged to all people that every son that is born, that is of the Hebrews, is to be cast into the river Nile. So this child is hid by the parents. In fact, in Acts chapter 7, verse 20, the Bible reads, in which time Moses was born, was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And the parents were commended in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, in hiding the child. For it reads in Hebrews 11:23, by faith Moses, when he was born,
was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. So on the surface, another boy is born, another Hebrew boy is born. But because we believe that God is always at work, he is not just another boy. God has a special purpose for this Hebrew boy. And are we not reminded there in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that he which being confident of this very thing, he that has begun a good work in you will complete it in the day of Jesus Christ. See, God is always at work, even though at times we don't see it. We don't know it. We can be encouraged that God is always at work. See, God is always at work, principle number one this evening, when it seems like we have arrived at a dead end. God is at work. God is always at work, even in times when it seems like we have come to a dead end. See, we see within this third verse, the parents had run out of places to hide their baby boy. It was no longer safe to keep him at home. So they decided to put him in a waterproof basket and place him on the bank of the River Nile. In the third verse, it reads that they laid it in the flags by the river's brink. That simply means that amongst the weeds, the rushes that grew up upon the banks or along the banks of the River Nile, there the mother laid their baby boy. Why amongst the reeds? Obviously, because that way the basket or the little ark or the little boat that they placed the child in would not be carried away down the river, and possibly might be seen and taken up by somebody that would have a compassion on the child and take care of it. But did they have any guarantee of all the above? The answer is no. See, God is always working, even though it seems like we have come to a dead end. Even when it seems that we've exhausted our options, done all that we can, all that we should, God is still at work. Remember Esther there before Mordecai in Esther chapter 4? How she said to Mordecai, go back to the people and get the people to fast and pray. And at the end of that, she said, if I perish, I perish. What more can we do? And we need to be encouraged concerning the fact that even though at times we might face dead ends, God is still at work. We note here in the third verse that the mother made this ark from the reeds that grew around the river bank and sealed it with waterproof Egyptian silicon. She wove the reed stems into a box-like structure and then coated it with slime and pitch. What creativity, what ingenuity by the mother in providing for her son. Her work was not in vain. And this is a reminder for you and I, as we are mindful of the fact that God is always at work, we need to do everything we can in our power and leave the rest to God. God is creative, and God demonstrates his ingenuity in our lives. As he works, and he's always at work, even when it seems like we've hit a dead end. So if that's where you find yourself this evening, in a given situation, I'd like to encourage you. Principle number one, God is always at work, even when we hit a dead end. Because God is not the God of the dead end. God is the God of the living. And secondly, this evening, in verse number 4, the Bible teaches us, back in Exodus chapter 2, verse 4, once the child was placed in the little basket or boat, a little ark, the waterproof little ark, and wedged there amongst the reeds along the riverbank of the River Nile. Verse 4 reads that his sister stood afar off to wit or to witness what would be done of him. See, God is always at work, even when we seemingly reach a dead end. What else can we do? The parents had hid the child for 3 months and they knew time was up. They knew the child would be found. And here in verse number 4, God is always at work simply because of the promise that God is always watching over us. See, upon placing the child in the ark and then on the water, his sister is commissioned by mum and dad to keep an eye on him. And the Bible teaches us in verse number 4 that she watched over him from a distance. She, with mum and dad, had a genuine concern for the well-being of baby. And my friend, may I encourage you that God is watching over you. God is watching over me. He promises never to leave us. He promises never to forsake us. His abiding presence is the assurance of the fact that God is still at work, whether we see it or not. God is watching over us. He is at work, even though we don't know of it, even though we do not see it. God is at work. His presence gives us the assurance that God is at work. Sister of baby Moses was keeping an eye on him, watching over him from a distance. Note that in Genesis chapter 39, we see this illustrated in the life of Joseph. In Genesis 39, verses 2 to 5, the Bible reads concerning Joseph, "And the Lord was with Joseph," verse 2, "and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him and made him overseer over his house. And all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field." See, we have the assurance then, verse number 2, that God was with Joseph. And because God was with Joseph, God was overseeing, watching over him, and God blessed his efforts. So my friend, Jesus said, "I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you." God's presence is assured as a child of God. If you've received Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you have the presence of God's Spirit with you. And there's nowhere that you and I will ever be able to go without being and remaining in His presence. As the psalmist said in Psalm 139, verse 7, "Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Whither shall I flee from Thy presence?" Where can I possibly be or go and be out of the presence of God? And the psalmist was saying, nowhere, because God, You are ever present. And I'm always in Your presence. And because we have that assurance that God is watching over us because His presence is with us, we can be encouraged by the fact that God is always at work, even though we don't see it. God is at work. God is at work always when it seems like we've hit a dead end. God is always at work because we have the assurance of his presence, and therefore he is watching over us. And note then verse number 5, please, in Exodus chapter 2. God is always working because of his precision in timing. His timing is always perfect. Note in verse number 5 it reads, "And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash or to bathe herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags or the reeds on the bank of the river, she sent her maid to fetch it." Pharaoh's daughter notices the ark amongst the reeds along the river. And the Bible teaches us that she sends one of her maidens to bring it to grab it and bring it to her. The Bible teaches us in verse 5 that she was down at the water to wash or to bathe herself in the Nile River. The Nile River for the Egyptians was very sacred. It was a sacred river. They worshipped this river. So could it be she was preparing to have a ritual bath in the river? Timing is everything, is it not? I don't think that the parents of this child orchestrated the placing of the ark in the water because they knew that Pharaoh's daughter would pass by. What about you? I don't think so. How would they have known when Pharaoh's daughter or if Pharaoh's daughter was going to come down to the river to bathe? See, God is always at work. His timing is always precise. I was reminded of that yesterday morning during our door knocking session. It was wonderful to go door to door and witness for Christ yesterday morning without rain. Without rain. We prayed that God would keep the rain away. So during the exact time that we were out, it did not rain a drop. But as soon as we hopped into the bus, I said to the boys, "Look at that. It's raining." Is that right, Brother Viv? Yeah. I tell you the truth. And the Spirit of God said, "I told you, son, I'm always at work. God's timing is always perfect." The precision of this divine collision here in verse 5. To us is a reminder that God is always at work. God's timing is perfect. God is always on time. And when we see the evidence of this very principle in our lives, we can rest assured of the fact, we can be reminded of the fact that God is the living God and God is at work. In Galatians 4:4 it reads, "And when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." God's timing is always perfect. And we are reminded of that very fact when we see God working and his timing is always perfect. There was this little child, this innocent, helpless child sitting in this basket on the River Nile, and providentially it happened to be the very time that Pharaoh's daughter was down at the river. God is always working. His timing is precise. And the next point I want to stress is found in verse number 6, please, of Exodus chapter 2. God is always at work because we see that he uses different kinds of people. In verse number 6 it reads, upon receiving the basket or the boat, the little ark, the Bible reads in verse 6 that when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." So we read that Pharaoh's daughter, upon opening the basket, obviously the basket was enclosed, seeing and hearing the child cry, verse 6 teaches us that she had compassion on him. She had compassion on the little baby boy crying. And she said, "Oh, this is a Hebrew child." She knows this is a Hebrew baby boy. And we see that her maternal element as a woman kicks in. And she has compassion. She feels for the child. Now, if it was a Egyptian male that saw the baby cry, think about it for a moment, he might have had a different response. But in God's providence, it was a woman. And God has created within a woman a maternal element. And when she opened the top of the basket and saw the little boy, and then the little boy cried, she melted. God is always at work because he uses different kinds of people to fulfill his work and purpose. Now, Pharaoh's daughter no doubt knows that her father commanded for all Hebrew boys to be cast into the River Nile. She would have known that. And yet we read that she has compassion on the little baby boy. It is true that God wants to use his people to fulfill his will. But often God uses other people to fulfill his will, does he not? See, God is always at work, and sometimes he works outside of the box. Not the way we expect or ever imagine. We don't read in the passage of Scripture that God uses a brave Hebrew warrior to protect the baby from death. No, he used a heathen, godless woman to protect the baby boy from death and to raise him to adulthood. That's God working. God is always at work. Just like we see in the book of Esther, chapter 6, verse number 1, that the king was awoken. Couldn't sleep. So he brought out the records and started reading about what had happened in the history of his nation. And then he came across the fact that this man by the name of Mordecai hadn't been honored for his loyal deed. Now, who woke up the king of Persia? God. God did. God did. See, God works and uses people. He wants to use you and I as his people. But God is not limited. He can use the unbeliever to fulfill his glory and to fulfill his will. And that's what he does with Pharaoh's daughter. God uses people. I was talking to Brother Neil Smith the other day, and he was sharing with me the time that he was in Germany just spending some time with some missionaries over there a long, long time ago when it was East and West Germany. I remember when walls came down, it was, middle to late 80s, around there. Okay, there you go. And a missionary brought me a part of the Berlin Wall. I have it somewhere at home. I had to hide it from my wife, otherwise she'd throw it away. In fact, I've hid it so well I don't remember where I put it. So I've got a piece of the Berlin Wall somewhere at home. And this missionary in Germany, West Germany at the time, had a burden for the people of East Germany. And so he sought permission to go into East Germany and to bring in tracts and Bibles. And he built a relationship with one of the guards. And as it turned out, the guard would allow him to go in and would ask him, "Now, when are you coming back?" So they worked out a little deal. And the guard would tell this missionary, "You need to be back here by a certain time. In other words, I'm on duty up until this time. You need to be back by this time to get back in." Now, the missionary didn't have a lot of money. But he had some bananas. So he offered him some bananas each time he went in. So God worked in this situation with bananas. This missionary was able to get into East Germany and give out Bibles, give out tracts, and the pay was bananas. Obviously, the soldier liked bananas. He wasn't an O'Sullivan that doesn't like bananas. He loved bananas, and that's all he had. So that's it. And I thought, what a wonderful illustration of the fact that God is at work. God connected this missionary with this soldier that knew exactly what he was doing. And obviously he wanted to make some money on the side. And the missionary didn't have money to give him, but he had some bananas. And that became the little incentive. God is always at work. God is always at work. And God uses different kinds of people. And God chose to use a godless heathen woman to not only preserve the upcoming deliverer of Israel, but to raise him till adulthood. God is always at work. God's workings are always reasonable. The way God works is understandable. It makes sense. If we go back to Exodus chapter 2, we note here in verses 7 and 8 that it reads, "Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother." That makes sense, doesn't it? Get the mother of the child to nurse the child. As the sister watched on to what was happening, she said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get a nurse from the Hebrew women for you?" God's timing. Perfect. Pharaoh's daughter agrees. "Go ahead, get me a Hebrew woman to nurse this baby for me." So the sister goes and gets mum. Gets the mother to look after her baby. Now Pharaoh's daughter would have no idea, I think, that this is the mother of the child. That's just my opinion. It made sense to get the mother of the child to nurse the child. And within the Egyptian culture, it was common to have another woman nurse your child, or try to nurse your child. So Pharaoh's daughter just said, just get me a Hebrew woman to nurse this child for me. And Sister Miriam went and got Mum. Oh, God's timing is always perfect. God uses all kinds of people. A reminder that God is always working. And God is always at work, because we see that when God works, it makes sense. I think of Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, where Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And sometimes the way God works might not make sense initially, but in time it will, because God is always at work. God's workings are always reasonable. They make sense. And last but not least this evening, we see from verses 9 and 10 that we know that God is at work when we see the power of God evident. We see the power of God evident. Look at verses 9 and 10. The Bible reads, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me. Now we don't read, by the way, that the mother said, oh, by the way, I'm the child's mother. We don't read that. So Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. I will pay you. God is at work. The woman took the child, the mother took the child and nursed it. And verse 10, the child grew and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son or adopted son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water, to draw out. That's what the word Moses means. We know that God is at work when we see the power of God evident. And we see that within this wonderful event in the life of baby Moses. Pharaoh told the mother to nurse the child and even said to the mother, I will pay you for your efforts. All expenses paid. That Hebrew boy became the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. She called him Moses. And beloved, when we see God provide in ways that are beyond our imagination, it is the assurance that God is at work. God is at work even though we might not see it, even though we might not know it. God is always at work. Remember when the Assyrians surrounded Jerusalem? Hezekiah and Isaiah prayed for God's protection, God's deliverance. And the Bible teaches us that that evening, God slew via his angels no less than 185,000 Assyrians. So God worked. God worked. And God is always at work. God is always at work. God's power is the evidence of God's power, or the testimony of God's power is the assurance that God is at work. So once again, Pharaoh's efforts to exterminate the male Hebrew population has failed. The child was protected in a reed basket as it floated helplessly in the Nile. And then by instant affection, Pharaoh's own daughter spared his life. In God's providence, and under his sovereign control, he keeps the child safe from Pharaoh's edict. And this child becomes a member of the royal Egyptian family. Praise be to God for his power at work. Praise be to God concerning the fact that God is always at work no matter our circumstances. The events that surround the birth of Moses teach us and remind us of the fact, beloved, God is always at work, whether we see it or not. God doesn't slumber. God was preparing a deliverer for God's people even before they requested one. That's God. He is eternal. He has no beginning or end of days. He has the big picture in the palm of his hand. And God is always at work. And you and I, as the people of God, need to be encouraged by that very fact. Because there are times that you and I seemingly come to a dead end. But with God, there are no dead ends. God is always at work in the background. And we just need to believe that God, our God, is the living God. And God is at work. God is always at work, even when it seems like we've hit a dead end. God is always at work. And we have the assurance of that fact because he is watching over us. God is always at work because his timing is always perfect. God is always at work because he uses all kinds of people. God is always at work because as he works, it will make sense. It might not initially, but it will make sense. The light will come on where you and I realize, I can see what God is doing. Now I see. Wasn't that Job's testimony there in chapter 42? I've heard it, now I see it with mine eyes. And for you and I that will choose to believe that our God is the living God and he is not the dead God, he's the one and true living God, God is always at work. And when God works beyond our imagination or beyond our request, and we see the evidence of that power, that is a testimony of the fact that God is at work. So I'd like to encourage you this evening that God is at work. Do you desire for God to work in a certain way or a certain situation? I'd like to encourage you this evening, God is at work. You might not see it, you might not know it, but God is at work. And may God help us to stay in the center of his will and to just believe God is God. He's the living God, God of providence, a God of purpose. God is at work. God is at work. God is always at work. No matter what political party is in office, God can still work. Labour, Liberal, Greens, Clive Palmer. Doesn't matter. End of the day, we believe that God will work. I was saying only this morning, I've learned over the years to not get too excited over who wins an election. I've learned over the years that really that's not where our faith needs to rest. Our faith needs to rest in God. Because God is always at work. I trust that will be an encouragement to our hearts this evening. That God is always at work. And no matter your situation, no matter my situation, I'd like to encourage you this evening that God is always working. Just believe it. and keep trusting him, and God will provide a way of escape. God provided for baby Moses. God can provide for you. And when we allow God to work, he will do above and beyond that which we can imagine. See, baby Moses was spared. His life was spared. But beyond that, he was educated. He was raised to adulthood to deliver God's people out of bondage. So God did beyond saving the life of a child. And I would dare say that's all that the parents wanted. Would you agree with that? They just wanted their child's life to be spared. But God did far more, because God is always working. And mum and dad, by faith, entrusted that child to God's care by placing that child on the banks of the River Nile. And God took over. Glory be to God. Let's bow for prayer.